New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Dean Slider, and he is the author of Fearless, Living Beyond Fear, Anxiety, Anger, and Addiction. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to the website fearlessbook.net, or you can give there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. And we're talking about the death of Maggie and going through that as a partner and somebody who was a deep meditator.
Yes, Maggie, my first wife, was a deep meditator. She was she was just a thoroughly remarkable person in so many ways. She had been a fashion model and then the super mom. And one day, a week or two before she died, she got a call from someone who was a friend of ours in a Buddhist organization that we were connected with at the time. And this person was very excited. He said, "I've made some arrangements. I can bring monks, Tibetan monks, to your hospital room and have them chant this special thing for you that is supposed to be good for people who are dying." And Maggie said, "Oh, thanks so much. But you know what? That has not been my practice during my life. It wouldn't be authentic for me." She said, "My practice has been just being without hope or fear." Okay. Now, there was so much teaching for me in Maggie's dying, but this, just being without hope or fear. Because everyone wants to be without fear. That's why, you know, I wrote this book, Fearless. By the way, let me point out the title is not fearless, because I haven't met anyone who's fearless, including the Dalai Lama, who jokes about being afraid of worms. Fearless, if we can just...
Two words.
You know, I think of our fears as being these big... They look like these big monsters looming over us, but they're actually like the floats in the Macy's Day Parade. If we can just get hold of some little pin here or there and stick little tiny holes in them, they start to deflate, and they're still around, you know, but they become like little, you know, soft, flaccid things bouncing around our ankles. So it's fearless. So Maggie said, "My practice is just being without hope or fear."
So now, Dean, this takes us to hope and fear. And I know that you've quoted several times in the book the work of non-dual teacher Rupert Spira, whom I had the wonderful opportunity to sit with, a lovely, lovely man. And you quote him, "Love is not a feeling, it's lack of other, of otherness." And you go on to say, like, God is love, and love is non-otherness. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about fear as the opposite of love. And so let's talk about fear and love and that whole idea and what that all means and how that is helpful to us.
Right. Well, two things here. First, let's talk just a little more about fear and hope, and then fear and love, because they are these two kind of polarities that we have. Because people want to be without fear, but they don't want to be without hope. They have this idea of, okay, keep hope alive. You know, hope is usually considered a good thing. And fine, hope gets people through a lot of things. And fine, if you're not ready to let go of hope, God bless. This is kind of on the postgraduate level. But for people who are ready to hear this, hope is the flip side of fear. Because hope and fear are both an investment in a particular outcome. They're both a way of saying, okay, I will be happy if things turn out a certain way. So I hope they'll turn out this way. I fear that they will turn out some other way. When you let go of both hope and fear, you're just right here.
Well, that reminds me of the words I say of Dalai Lama. He said, I do the work because it's good and right for me to do, not because I understand how the outcome will be.
Yeah.
And right. I think Vaclav Havel has said it. Mandela has said it. Others have.
It's a key teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. You have the right to your actions only, not to the fruits of your action. So it's you do the best thing you can do by your lights in this moment, and then the chips fall where they may.
You release the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what in Indian tradition, this is what's called karma yoga. And if you can really do that, just being in the moment of doing the action, and then the fruit is whatever it is, and really see that you work as conscientiously as you can, but the outcome is 100% beyond your control, then karma yoga is considered to be 100% as much a valid path, meditative path, as much as sitting with your eyes closed or practicing devotional practices.
Right. Now let's go on. Thank you for that. That's very clarifying. Let's go on to fear and love.
Yes, fear and love. So at one level, you know, and I quote some psychiatrists and Oprah and a few other people all saying, you know, you can't fear and love at the same time.
I can't occupy the same space at the same time. It's
right.
Maybe a physical law of physics will say love and fear.
Yeah, because on the level where we consider them emotions, they're opposite emotions. Also, by the way, you can't fear and laugh at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting. But at a deeper level, as you're right, you quoted the brilliant teacher, Rupert Spira, that love is not a feeling. Love is the lack of an other. It's the lack of otherness. And this is a huge, if we really understand this, this is a huge gift, because if we think of love as this delicate, fragile emotion which has to be cultivated within, in this relationship I have this love with my husband or with my wife or with my kids, and then it changes, the outer circumstances change, and then, you know, I know so many people who feel, I had love in my life once and now it's gone. Mm-hmm. Or I've never had the kind of love that I longed for, because they're thinking of love as a feeling. Now, when we settle into ourselves and experience that what we are is not a separate self, it's not this organism, it's not this body. Because, when I look out through my eyeballs, when I look down at my body, it's not the same body I saw when I was 15 or 25 or 35. But it's the same eye, the same awareness that sees this succession of bodies. So people think, I'm not the body, then I'm the mind, I'm my thoughts, I'm my convictions. But what's all that made of? It's made of thoughts. Thoughts change. You know, people say, I am a liberal, I am a conservative, I am a Christian, I am a Buddhist or an atheist. But what is your religion when you're fast asleep? When you are in the state of dreamless sleep, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And of course, it's none of the above, because those things are 100% made out of thoughts.
So they're like the waves on the ocean.
They are the waves. And when you at night in sleep, you sink into the silent water beneath the waves. The problem is you conk out. Mm-hmm. And so you don't experience that freedom from all that thought. Now, what happens in meditation is essentially it's a fourth state of consciousness, waking, dreaming, sleeping, and then transcendence, which is a wakeful hypometabolic state, as the scientists describe it. In other words, we're settled down as we are in sleep, but we're awake to experience that silence, to experience, here is the silent, open, empty, sky-like, space-like, yum, delicious. It's just nothing, but there's something very good about it that I am at my core.
Now, I'm going to say something here because, and I know that you can speak about this, and on a personal level for me, when Michael died, and that was 4 years ago, and there would be moments that I would feel just extreme grief. I could just feel it just invading my whole my whole beingness. And in those moments, I can only call them exquisite. I felt so alive, and I think it has to do, I think you have really defined it for me in this writing, is that in that extreme grieving, I am no longer alone. I am otherness. I am beyond myself.
Yeah, you know, to grieve like that is a privilege. You know, it's and I talk, there's a chapter in the book, it's one of my favorite things in this book, is a chapter titled Lord Shiva Kicks Ass. And I talk there about loss and my own deep experience of loss when Maggie died. And you know, for me, I remember now going to the A&P and suddenly I'm shopping for one person instead of two. And I remember I would get one yellow banana for tomorrow morning and one green banana for, you know, a day or two after that. And I wrote a little, I talk about this in the book, I wrote a little haiku a week or two after Maggie died. And it went, "My heart is broken, open." And if you're lucky, and if you're paying attention to the precious opportunity of these times of deep grieving, there is that. There is, you know, it's as if the person that we loved so much is like, they were like a window through which the beautiful sunlight was streaming into us. And then when that person dies, it's as if the window shatters. And that can seem like, oh, this is just ultimate disaster. But if we pay attention, we realize that, oh, the window was just the aperture. It was the opening through which the sunlight was reaching us. And the sunlight is still there. And in fact, the sunlight surrounds us. And in fact, if you really pay attention, the more Lord Shiva kicks your ass, the god of destruction, the more loss you have in your life, if you pay, everywhere something gets knocked down, that opens up a space through that allows the sunshine in, if you let it and if you're paying attention.
There you go. So I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Dean Slider, and he is a teacher of natural methods of meditation, and he's also the author of many books, including Fear Less, Living Beyond Fear, Anxiety, Anger, and Addiction. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, fearlessbook.net. Or you can give there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. And if you go to that website, you can also go to his homepage from there and just discover all sorts of wonderful things on his website. So I encourage everyone to do that. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Dean Slider, and he is the author of Fearless, Living Beyond Fear, Anxiety, Anger, and Addiction. And I want to tell our listeners that to go to Dean's website called fearlessbook.net and go to the homepage, and you'll find all sorts of things. You'll find some guided meditations that are totally free. You'll find his workshop schedule. You can tune into that, all of that. So I encourage you to go to that. There's much to look at there. And also, I just want to mention that, Dean, that you've worked, done quite a lot of work in prisons with prisoners.
Right.
So is there anything that you want to say about that?
It's the best. I just love working with those guys. You know, the Buddha said, do your practice, whatever it is, your meditation, your art, whatever it is. He was talking about Dharma practice, meditation. He said, do your meditation like your hair is on fire. And prisoners, they get the seriousness of the matter. They know their hair is on fire. And I have learned so much from them. I have one chapter in the book called That Guy. And that's a great expression that they have, like, because people think, oh, everything would be fine if it wasn't for that guy. And one night in a conversation with my group at Northern State Prison in Newark, New Jersey, what we decided was that that guy, the person or the situation that seems like the one stumbling block, if it wasn't for that guy, everything would be okay. That guy, whoever he is your guru. That is your deepest teacher.
So we can also apply that to politics these days.
We don't have to name any names,
but, you know, we can just, you know, deep practice. Mm-hmm. You do a whole practice. It's called a Vajrasattva practice, but
right.
It's
purification,
right. Major practice in there, right. That just hair on fire, hose it down practice. I love that.
Also, so, about the political situation, I do have a chapter called November 9th, 2016, mm-hmm. which I wrote the day after that election. I was red hot, and I know as I go through the country doing workshops and meeting with people that I always, in my decades as a meditation teacher, I've always stayed away from politics. But this is not just a political question. This has become a mental health issue. So I talk quite a bit about dealing with the particular landscape that changed very radically for a lot of people on after that last election.
I have to say, Dean, that I took that chapter and I copied some of it and I sent it out to my very small list of friends, and it helped me so much. And that's enough said there. But you give some suggestions mm-hmm. in the book, how to be of help.
Right.
Dean helps us. Dean, you help us. You have shown us ways that we can help ourselves. And one of them that you suggest is called relax at the moment of contact. So can you put that in context for us?
Right. And this is a teaching that I got actually from a martial arts teacher. I used to practice Aikido. It's a beautiful, very circular, flowing, almost dance-like Japanese martial art. It's a non-fighting martial art where when the person comes rushing at you, and what you do is you beautifully neutralize the attack and bring him down to the mat or send him flying gracefully across the room. So I was practicing for a test, and in this test I was going to have to repel three attackers. And what would happen was every time an attacker would come, I would wind up in just kind of locked with him. And I was practicing this in the dojo and just not getting anywhere, being very frustrated. Suddenly, I heard the voice of my teacher from across the room. He was halfway up the stairs to the men's dressing room, and he shouted to me, "Relax at the moment of contact." And then I realized that every time one of the attackers grabbed me, I was tightening up, and that made it impossible for me to throw him. And so I tried that. And now when I was grabbed, I would relax, let go instead of tightening up. And lo and behold, suddenly I was able to do the Aikido technique and send the guy flying across the room. And then I would freeze up again. And again, the teacher would say, relax at the moment of contact. And the guy would come and I would throw him across the room.
And that goes back to something that you said at the very beginning of the interview of our time together here. And that's breathing through your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would think that if we can just relax at the moment of contact, take that deep breath through right. the bottoms of our feet and bring it up and take it down that moment.
Right. Yeah, that's one way to do it. And I give a lot of ways to do it. I mean, my theory is throw a bunch of strands of spaghetti against the wall, see what sticks. It's not one size mm-hmm. fits all. I encourage people to sit in meditation with their eyes closed every day. It doesn't have to be real long time, 15, 5, 10 minutes, something. But also there's all these little things you can do through the day, like just, you know, when the moment of contact is not going to be in a martial arts dojo usually, but it'll be that moment of potential road rage. It's going to be that moment where you get up to speak in front of the group and your mouth is going dry. That moment where you want to ask the person for the date. That moment where suddenly your child is confronting you. They want to go to this college and you're not sure if you have the money. All these moments of contact through the day. And if we can relax at that, exactly at the moment when we're going to tend to tighten up, our horizon becomes clearer. We can see more possibilities. We can be more effective in our action for ourselves and for others.
Right, right. There's another one that I just loved, and it was smacking the hands.
Right.
I kind of think of this in the Tibetan, it was sometimes in the middle of meditation, a teacher might suddenly, out of nowhere, go,
mm-hmm.
And it's like everybody's just
right.
shocked.
Right.
And but this is kind of like that.
To do it
that,
yourself.
Do it yourself.
Yes.
So describe
right.
it.
So this is, and again, this is, I have a whole chapter about this. It's titled Drop Your Thoughts. Simple, simple thing. You put your hands in front of your eyes and smack them together and drop your thoughts for, say, 5 seconds. Now, drop them doesn't mean that they have to go away. The person says, oh, I'm trying to drop my thoughts, but they won't go away. Well, that's not dropping them. That's holding on to the idea that they're supposed to go away. Drop them means drop your engagement with them. Relax your grip on them. We started to say before that this idea that, your religion, your politics are made 100% out of thoughts. You can't have a religion, you can't have politics when you're not thinking. And this also goes for all our story and sometimes our sad story and our oy veyus mir, this big fighting with my mom and this and that and all this stuff that I'm dreading or hoping for in the future. It's in here in this moment, it's all made out of thoughts. And if you most people go through most of their lives in the grip of that stuff. And if you can just smack your hands together and drop it for 5 seconds, you are weakening its grip on you. And you just do that whenever you think about it. And the stuff will come back, but it comes back weaker. You're fearing less.
All right. There's another one that I have to mention that's so much fun. And it's called Dare to Be Silly. And you established the Silly Walks Olympics after the
Monty Python.
And I just imagine the silly walks, like if we got Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, you know, doing silly walks, Olympics, or get President Trump and Putin or Kim Jong-un,
you know,
just doing silly walks, mm-hmm. you know. It just made me smile.
Right, right. And this stuff, you know, that particular thing where I came up with the Silly Walks Olympics was from when I used to teach. I used to be an English teacher at a fancy prep school in New Jersey. And I taught a course in public speaking. And people have so much fear, you know, that's rated. That's the people have more fear of public speaking than they do of death. So if before you do public speaking, if you can practice by going doing silly walks so you don't have to worry about making a fool of yourself because you've already done it to the max, that's very helpful. Another thing is there's some really great vocal stuff that I share in the book. My favorite is singing descending fifths, like for those of us of a certain age, you'll know the song Blue Moon. Right.
And that sounds like also a buoy out in the bay that does that same interval.
And it's amazing how universal that interval is. For instance, in the Civil War, it was a clash between people who sang, "Oh, say, can you see?" and people who sang, "I wish I was in the land of cotton."
Right. Right?
They both start with that descending fifth because that is the sound of letting go. Tension resolved, question answered, let go.
These are just a few of the little techniques that you have. And as you say, you use them, but then there'll come a time that you can release them. It's not getting attached to them and saying, okay, this is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life.
Right.
You use them, and then
They're all on-ramps.
Exactly.
And the idea is get as quickly as we can into the express lane of just being.
Dean, I want to thank you so much for being part of New Dimensions today. I've been speaking with Dean Slider. He is the author of Fearless, Living Beyond Fear, Anxiety, Anger, and Addiction. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, fearlessbook.net. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3644.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Claudia Lamoureux, founder of Mindful Digital Life and parenting coach. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how to live well with technology.